Good morning once again. I've got a million things to say, but I'm going to try and keep it short. My mom always says that I talk to for too long. It's like it gets boring, Gabe. And I think the people are just bored, so wrap it up. So I'm going to try and keep it short, Mom. Everyone's a critic. But there's a couple of things that I wanted to say. When I was a young man, I was a little bit of a thrill seeker, and by a little bit, I mean a lot of it. And my life looked kind of like this. If you can't hear me, tell me, and I'll speak up. I would go out and have a lot of fun on the weekends, or going traveling, or trips, and then on Monday, oh, dude, I'm not having any fun. And then out with friends, going to a show, a lot of fun. And then back down. Even today, I find myself with highs and lows. They are less pronounced, but most of us feel higher when it's Friday evening and lower when it's Monday morning. Most of us feel that's natural, that's the way of things. But I would argue that when we are up and down, left and right, that our true north, that our center is the Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's there for me on Monday mornings, just like he's there for me on Friday afternoons, which doesn't really mean anything to me because I work Friday nights and but the glory, Hector, is that he's always there. So my happiness is not dependent. My peace of mind and my joy is not dependent on, yay, I'm gonna get to spend time with my kids. Oh no, I gotta go to work. Yay, I get to go see my family. Oh no, I gotta pay my bills. The constant thread is the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord Jesus, and to the degree that I can seek him and find him, the more that I'm right around it. Did that make sense? This brilliant illustration came to me in a dream, Donna. It's like, that's just gonna sell it, Joanne. They're gonna get that. It's like, poof. John chapter 14, verse 11. Verse 1, we're gonna go through the whole thing. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. So Thomas said to him, of course, Thomas, always doubting, Ash. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way to happiness, the way to truth, the way to life. You can't get there without him. Brand new video games don't do it. They come pretty close. Brand new cars don't do it. More money doesn't do it. He's the way. He's the way. I spent all of these years foolishly. The next thing that I do, the next vacation, the next person that I meet, the next thing that I buy, that's gonna do it. That'll make me happy. I live in my job that I hate, but on the weekend it's gonna be awesome. So I just gotta get through. What kind of life is that to live? So we're gonna break it down. The way, the truth, and the life. The way is his consistency. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Paul says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That consistency is key because even though he may be the same, the world around us changes rapidly. I have spies, young spies who tell me what things are cool and how things are changing. And then they give me some, I say, wait. So if somebody is gaslighting you, that means what exactly? I'm getting pretty good at it. Working in middle school is very difficult. You see how quickly the world changes. The world changes, the circumstances change, but his spirit does not change. It's the firm foundation. The world is changing, and each of us have our own problems to figure out. The consistency of the Lord points true north, regardless of what we are going through. Seek him and regain your bearings. So not only does the Spirit of the Lord help us through changing circumstances, he's also custom built, tailored to each one of our needs. So some people have no problem with anger. My son Aiden can let just about anything go. When I was a young man, I had a real problem if I felt like somebody was being disrespectful or disingenuous. And so I've really had to seek the Lord to get over that. Right? You're bending yourself all out of shape. You don't even know what they meant. And even if they did, your anger isn't going to change them at all. So Aiden doesn't have that problem, but his father does. So the Lord helps me with that. I'm getting better and better and better. I'm becoming a calmer, more peaceful man. Aiden doesn't need help with that. He does need help with other things. Calm water describes my son very well. Calm water doesn't like to move a lot. The object at rest will remain at rest. And Aiden is like, you could just, if you need a scientific experiment, look for my boy. So not only is the Lord, the consistency helps us in changing circumstances, but he meets you where you're at. Just because I have changed and grown and become a more peaceful man doesn't mean that I don't have more growing to do. But he consistently adapts to what I need. So as I grow in him, he illuminates new areas for me to change and grow. That makes sense? He's the way. How can I be a happier man at work? He's the way. How can I have peace in my mind when I'm driving down the 405? It's impossible. Just give up. No, he's the way. He will find you and guide you if you will seek him enough. Part two, he's the truth. The truth of the Lord is his love. Growing up, I had this vision of love like in a rom-com. Did you guys ever see that movie Love Actually? It's about English people in England during Christmas time being in love. And there's like one part of the movie where like the best friend is like proposing to his best friend's like wife. Have you ever seen this? And he's like, has like postcards, like, you know, extolling her virtues and his love. Everyone's like, how romantic. Like, this is terrible. True love isn't blind. True love isn't desire. True love isn't to be desired. True love is to see people and things clearly. Nobody loves my children besides Jesus more than I do. And I see them clearly. If somebody were to come and tell me, Jude didn't do her homework, I would, huh? Yep, that tracks. We're working on that. Pray for us. I see her clearly. The Lord is able to see us with a clear vision that we can't see ourselves, and he loves us still. Jesus sees us clearly. He sees all of our faults and loves us still, and he calls us to love people in the same way so that we can have that clarity of vision. When I'm at Trader Joe's and I see somebody come in and they're being difficult or they're being condescending, I had a guy, he was returning something and I was checking, but I could overhear what he was saying to the manager. And he was returning something and the manager was trying to help him return it. And he said, I don't know what it is about you, but I don't like you. And I was like, and you know what, didn't even say it to me, but like the injustice of it. The Robert was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It's like, bless you, Robert. And I was kind of baffled and angry. You could deal a lot with this in customer service. But then, in years past, I would have just been angry for like the rest of the hour. I can't believe he said that. Who goes around saying this? But because I've been seeking the Lord, I had that moment of irritation. But then the Lord revealed to me, if this man knew he was being out of line, he wouldn't be saying what he's saying. Bless them, Father. They know not what they do. Love your neighbor. Even that guy who was a jerk in the pickup line, even him. And because I could see clearly, or more clearly, this man, I stepped out of my anger into the freedom of the Spirit of the Lord. Does that make sense? So the more that I can do that, the more I can see things clearly, and I become bulletproof. If I'm driving my car, if I'm at work, a coworker is being difficult, bless them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Because if we were keeping tally marks of every time somebody said something they shouldn't have said, mine would just be covered in tally marks. So his love is the truth. John 8, chapter 1, the woman caught in adultery. It is not good and wise to commit adultery. Moses knew that because he sought the Lord, and the Lord is telling him, we got to have rules in this place. But because Moses was not Jesus, he said, don't commit adultery, and if you do, we're going to drag you outside, and we're all going to hit you with rocks until you're dead. So they catch the adulterous woman, and the Pharisees are feeling pretty good about themselves because Jesus has been speaking with such power and authority that everybody who used to go to them is now going to him. So they're going to try and trip him up. So they bring him. She's caught red-handed, so to speak. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, notice they only brought the girl, takes two to commit adultery. Maybe he was faster. He's probably faster, right? And they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? The idea being that if he stones her, he's been preaching love, and the act of killing a person with stones, I would imagine, is very brutal. So if he stones her, then everybody else will see the ugliness of the act. And if he doesn't, then they'd be like, see, he doesn't follow the law of Moses. He's not Jewish. He's not the Messiah. As they were saying this, testing him so they might have grounds for accusing him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone with the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go from now on and sin no more. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. His love is the truth. And when he spoke it, they were cut to the quick. All of their plots and schemes, all of their machinations, gone, done, fall apart, feeble. He's the light of the world, but he lived without sin. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But because he is love, he is truth. And he was able to save that woman. That's who he is. That's what he does. He can't do anything else. It's his spirit. It's his nature. The rose can't say, I'm going to give my beautiful fragrance to Judd because he's awesome, but I'm not going to give it to Joanne because she's not. He is who he is. And your guidance system, your GPS. When I sin and fall short of the glory of God, I know it's hard to believe, Stephen, but it's happened. The Lord helps me. He loves me. He shows me the error of my ways. I don't condemn you either, Gabe. Go your way and try not to sin anymore. Okay, Lord, he's the truth. He's the way. I teach kids all of the time who believe that Jesus and Christianity is a bunch of rules that's keeping them from what they really want to do. And they couldn't have it more backwards if they tried. He's not keeping you from things that are good. He's saving you from yourself. His love, his rules, and his guidance, I teach you to brush your teeth. Not only because I want to annoy her, but also because it's good for her. His love is the truth. And he guides us. Seek him. He's the way. He's the truth. And lastly, he is the life. Walking their dogs. Who would do that? Out there, I'm driving, walking their dogs, watching sports. None of that wrong with any of that. But it is not life. It's not. He is the life. Even people who don't know he is life know that it is. I lived for decades thinking, what's the meaning of life? What am I even doing here? What are you even doing here? You're seeking him and reveling in every moment that the Lord has for you. John chapter 6, verse 60. A little background. We're going to wrap it up, Mom. Sorry. Before Jesus began preaching, John the Baptist was the great teacher. Jesus says, of anyone born of a woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. Before John the Baptist, those of you who study history know that there were other prophets in Galilee and Nazareth. This had happened so often, that's why when Jesus was calling his disciples, the disciple says, Nazareth, does anything good come out of Nazareth? Because for the last few decades, prophets had proclaimed themselves and then brought the heat from the Roman Empire on them. So, Jesus, when he meets with John the Baptist, he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and then he begins his ministry. And many of the people who were following John begin to follow Jesus. But some of them begin to be concerned because he's not doing the Messiah things they thought he was going to be doing. So they're like, dude, are you going to, John the Baptist, who's in jail, by the way, about to get his head cut off, sends his disciples like, hey, man, are you the one? Are things going to happen? Are we just like waiting around? What are we doing here? John chapter 6, verse 60. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who it was that would believe him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. As a result of this, many of disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Blessed are you, Peter. He's blessed because he's the one who's, they're all hearing it, but he's the one who gets it. for years and years and years. You can read self-help novels. You can go to therapy and take medication. Whatever you'd like to do, the Lord will guide you. But if you are not seeking him, you are not experiencing the life that he has to offer you. Where else would I go, Lord? On vacation? To work? You have the words of life. The Holy Spirit brings light and life to all who would follow. He brings peace, hope, and love every time we act in accordance with his will. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to close with this. Being on the board and making moves, I'm very excited about the school, about the church. We have a wonderful opportunity to do something truly good. And we have emails and we have meetings. But none of those things bring the life that the Spirit of the Lord does. Does that make sense? So if everything took off like a rocket ship, if the school became the most famous scholarly institute for eighth grade history, taught by Professor Frazier, if so we sold books and built statues, none of it means a thing without the life of the Holy Spirit. Did that make sense? That's why rich and famous people need the same help we people who are not rich and famous do. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Because as soon as you gain the whole world, you're going to drop back down. But if you seek him, if we seek him, seek and you will find, ask and it will be answered, knock and it will be opened to you. But we spend all day, every day, worried about the emails and the bills and the kids' grades and the traffic and the plans. The way, the truth, and the life. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many who go down it because there are legitimate reasons to be busy. Narrow is the path that leads to salvation, and few who go down it because they start and then they get distracted with meetings. They start and then somebody is unreasonable at Trader Joe's. They start and life happens and they get thrown out of whack. This week, be blessed, and in this week, find ways and means to seek him. He's trying to save you. In our arrogance, we think we've got it all figured out. In our pride, we believe that we already know what he would have us do. But if you're living like this, brothers and sisters, you got work to do. And that's okay. It's more than okay. It's the best. Because that means there's still growth. There's still more. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. He is the way. And he is the truth. And he is the life. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. It's true in the future. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. In your family, in your job, in your marriage, in your body, in your health, in your mind. Be blessed. Be blessed in your prayer time. Start with it. Start with it. Seek him. And throughout the day, take time out of your busy schedule to pause. What would the Lord have me do right now? Seek him. Am I doing what I should be doing? And he will find you. He'll guide you back onto the path. And it's going to be awesome, Donna. We're going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this sunny day in Southern California. But above all, Thank you for your Spirit. Help us, Lord. Guide us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart that understands. Help us to find ways and means of seeking you. Fortify our good, disciplined prayer time so that we might see the traps and pitfalls of the enemy and overcome them. And bring us back next week filled with praise reports and the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.